Amen. I'm glad it's been supplied, aren't you? I mean, what we couldn't do for ourselves, the lovely Lord Jesus stepped out of the portals of glory and did for us. That's the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. I want you to take the Word of God with me. Turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 again. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. I began this message last Sunday morning, and it was a brief message. Just got through the first point. We'll pick up with point number 2 today. I'll go back and tap this on the head, how far we've gotten. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. We're studying through this book together. It's been a great book, and I'm loving preaching through books of the Bible. It's amazing how the Lord has you right where you need to be when you just preach through the Word of God. And this is a great, great book. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the Word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. I began a message last week on the first phrase of verse 11. It is a faithful saying. It is a faithful saying. And let's pray together, and I'm going to continue with this thought. Our Father, help us now. May the will of God be done. Forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel for you to flow through. Anything hindering you in my heart and life, remove it. Forgive me, I pray. And I pray for this meeting that you'll touch it in a great way. Would you meet with us in a wonderful way? Draw those who are lost to yourself, we who are saved. Help us to be better Christians as a result of this meeting. And Lord, we just give this service to you. Confess our dependence upon you. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we get to this text, Paul is continuing with some thoughts to help Timothy in his God-given responsibility to carry the torch being passed down to him in the midst of a time of apostasy and spiritual declension. Now, in these verses 8 to 14 is my entire text that we're preaching on. It can all come under the heading, it is a faithful saying. Now, the word faithful here means trustworthy. It means true or sure. In other words, the Apostle Paul wanted Timothy to understand that what he's saying to him were true sayings. These statements were not statements that Paul was making up out of his own mind. They were not statements he was giving to Timothy for false hope or motivation. These sayings were true, and they are still true today. And let me pause here and say that it's possible that a human being can tell another human being a lie. As a matter of fact, it happens all the time, people lying to one another. But we know that whatever Paul is saying here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, these are true sayings because they help make up the Word of Almighty God. Now, what we know here is that Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and since it's in the Word of God, we know that these sayings are true sayings. The Word of God says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Now, the first statement we got to last Sunday morning, it's the only one we've gotten to, is found in verse number 8, and that is this. This is a faithful saying. What is? Number 1, verse 8, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Aren't you glad this morning that Christ is not decayed in the grave? I'm glad he's alive, he's doing well, and he said that he is alive forevermore, and he has the keys to hell and death. Now we come to the second major statement that falls under this heading. This is a faithful saying. What is? Number 2, verse 9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even in the bonds. Here it is. But the Word of God is not bound. So statement number 2, that is a faithful statement, a faithful saying, a true statement, is the Word of God is not bound. You know, the Apostle Paul makes a wonderful statement in this verse. He tells Timothy that he's in bonds. That word bonds there carries the idea of shackles. He's being held captive.
However, he went on to tell Timothy that another faithful saying is no matter what has happened to him, no matter if they can keep him in shackles, the word of God cannot be bound and it cannot be chained down. In other words, he's saying even though my body is being kept from moving freely, the word of God, Timothy, is still flourishing. And the word of God, Timothy, is still moving freely. And the word of God is still accomplishing much for the glory of God. Even with all the opposition that the infidels were showing towards the word of God, they could not bind it. And may I tell you something today? They're still trying to bind it, and it's still free, it's still loose, it's still unshackled today. The word of God is not bound. I'm telling you that Paul is telling Timothy that they may have him bound, and they may even put him to death, but they'll never bind the precious word of God, and they'll never put to death the precious word of God. The word of God will continue to prosper and will continue to spread. It will continue to do the will of God. It cannot be stopped. Amen. I'm telling you, they've tried to put this book down. They've tried to put it out of business, and it's still alive and kicking. And I've got news for everybody. When everybody's gone, you're listening to me, it's still going to be alive and kicking. The word of God is not bound. You cannot take it down. You cannot bind it. You cannot shackle it. You can't tie it up. And you can't keep it from working freely. Aren't you glad of that tonight, this morning? The word of God says in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Isaiah 40 verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Isaiah 55, 11, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Psalm 12, 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Psalm 33, 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119:152, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Psalm 119:160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. 1 Peter 1:25, the word of God endureth forever. The word of God has been and still is being attacked. All you got to do is look around. But it will never come into bondage. Never. You can't bind the word of God. It's God's word, and you cannot chain it down. Amen. That blesses my heart. Let me give you the third statement that we can say, and that it's in the word of God. This is a true saying. What's a true saying? Verse 8, that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. What's a true saying? That the word of God's not bound. What's a true saying? Verse number 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain, here it is, salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What's the next saying? That salvation is in Christ Jesus. The word salvation means to rescue, to deliver, to save. You know, this is the need of humanity today. According to the word of God, mankind has sinned. And mankind is on his way to a devil's hell. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. James 2:10, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Revelation 20, verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The word of God plainly teaches that mankind has sinned. Nobody's perfect. And James 2:10 tells us and strips us of all excuses. If you keep the whole law and yet offend in one single minute part, you have broken God's law. The law of God proves one thing, and that is we are not perfect. We have sinned. However, praise God that he did not leave us without an answer. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come into this world by the means of the virgin birth. Brother Gary, outstanding lesson this morning. And he lived a perfect, sinless life. And because he was born of the Virgin Mary and he never sinned, he was God come in flesh. He laid his life down for us. He died as our substitute on the cross for our sins. And because of this, salvation is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not found in baptism. It's not found in church membership. It's not found in living a good life, turning over a new leaf. It is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9, and if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say you'll be saved if you get baptized. It doesn't say you'll get saved if you join a church. It doesn't say you'll get saved if you just treat your wife or husband right. No, it says you'll be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Salvation is found only in Christ Jesus. This is a true saying. This is not something made up. It's a true saying. If you're here today and you're still in your sin, your need is not this church. Your need's not this pastor. Those are all byproducts. Your need is not to get wet. Your need is to realize that you're a sinner and Jesus died for you. And you come to him in sincere faith and you confess your sin to him and ask him to come into your heart and forgive you. And if you'll do that, he has promised he'll save your soul. Why? Because it's a faithful saying, salvation is found in Christ Jesus. There was once a caravan crossing the north of India, and numbering in its company a godly missionary. As this caravan was passing along, a poor old man was overcome by the heat and labor of the journey, and sinking down was left to perish on the side of the road. The missionary saw what happened to this man, and when the others had passed along, he knelt down beside this man and with great and right beside him and whispered in his ear and said, "Brother, what's your hope?" This man, heat's overcome his body. He's perishing. He's dying. And some people just left him there to die. This missionary sees him and goes and kneels down and says, "Brother, what's your hope?" The dying man raised himself up a little to reply with great effort and answered. Here's what he said. He said, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin." Soon after he made that statement, he died. And as the missionary was meditating on this precious scene he had with this man who was dying, he noticed that there was a piece of paper that the man who's now just a corpse laying there was grasping tightly in his hand. And somehow he pried the man's hand open enough where he could grab the paper. And all it was a single leaf of the Bible. Just one page of the Word of God. And on that page contained the first chapter of the first epistle of John, where the words are found, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And I'm going to tell you something, folks. On that one page, the man had found the gospel of salvation. Only a few words. But what a testimony that the man could give his last moments. "What's your hope, buddy?" And he reared himself up. I'm so glad he didn't say, "My good life." I'm so glad he didn't say, "I've tried the best I can." I'm so glad he didn't say, "Well, I got baptized." Glad he didn't rear up and say, "Well, I joined the church." No, he reared up and with his dying words, he said, "My hope is the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." That man got it. And I'm telling you, the world's only hope is the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. The third statement that falls under the heading, this is a faithful saying, it's a true saying, is that salvation is found in Christ Jesus. That's powerful, folks, I'm telling you. Then there's a third one. It's actually number four, but it's the third one today and the last one I'll get to. It's found in verse number 11. What's the next faithful saying? It's a faithful saying. Look at it, verse 11. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. That's a powerful statement. Statement number four, that's a faithful saying, is if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Now, this is one of those phrases in the Word of God. Everybody swallow your bubble gum. This is one of those phrases in the Word of God where good people differ. Notice I said good people differ as to what it really means. Some people try to say it's speaking of the martyr's death. In other words, Paul realizes that he's getting ready to be, die a martyr's death. So he's saying, if we be dead with him, if we give our life, we're going to live with him. Now, I'm not going to argue with somebody who says that. By the way, don't argue over frivolous things. It's ridiculous. You know what the major thought of this is? Stay with me. I'll give it to you. Some people think that this is speaking of salvation being identified as being dead with Christ in Romans chapter 6. That's what I personally believe. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that if you believe otherwise that you're necessarily wrong, because it doesn't matter either way, because that's not the major thought. You know what the major thought is? That we're going to live with him someday. That's the major thought. Who cares if it's the martyr's death or whether it's salvation? The major thought is if you know him as your Savior, you're going to where he is. You're going to live with him for all eternity. Man, that's exciting right there. Now, I want you to hold your place here. Matter of fact, you don't have to, because I don't know if I'll come back to this or not. But I want you to flip over to Revelation chapter 21 and wait on me there. What I'm trying to say to you here is don't get bogged down in what it might mean if it doesn't change the meaning of the passage. Now, we're not talking about doctrine. In other words, there's only one thing salvation can mean, only one thing that certain things can mean, but that statement, if we be dead with him, if it's a martyr's death or whether it's a spiritual talk about being dead with Christ's salvation, it doesn't change the major thought that we who are saved are going to live with him some glorious day. Now the Word of God tells us, wait on me now in Revelation chapter 21. Luke chapter 24 verses 50 and 51. And as he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into, what's the next word? Heaven. John 14, 1 through 3. What am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm trying to get you focused on we're going to live with him. We're going to be with him. That's exciting. That blesses my heart right there. If it doesn't bless yours, your blesser's broken. Praise God. John 14, 1 to 3, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 to 18. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. John 17, 24. Jesus praying to his Father and said, Father, I will. In other words, it's his will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Let me stop right here and say, glory to God. I mean, can you? Jesus said, Father, I've got a prayer request. I have a will. And my will is that those who you have given me, that's children of God, God's children, those who are saved, he said, I want them to be with me where I am. And I want them to see me in all my glory. That's a day to look forward to right there. John 11:26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You're in Revelation chapter 21. Hope you don't mind a lot of reading because you're getting ready to get it. I don't read a lot typically when it comes to long passages of scripture, but this is something that I was reading this in preparation for this meeting, and it blessed my heart. What is in Revelation chapter 21 in the first part of chapter 22? It's an identification, if you will, a characterization of heaven. The place, if you're saved, you're going to. The place, if you're saved, where Jesus is. And the place that if you be dead with him, you're also going to live with him. So wherever he's at now is where you're going. Let's read about it. I'm telling you, this is great. Revelation chapter 21. Now just follow along with me now. Try not to fall asleep. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Question, it's holiday season. You've been crying for something? A lot of tears of sorrow around holiday season. Lost loved ones. Maybe a wayward child. A wayward son or daughter who's away from home. Maybe a marriage that's been breaking apart. I don't know what it is. None of my business. But God says this place, he's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there should be no more death. Amen. Glory to God right there. Have you lost somebody who means the world to you? Would you raise your hand? A lot of us have, right? Whether it be a great grandparent, a mom, a dad, a mate, a son, a daughter, whatever, a grandchild. The land where we're going to be with him, there's no death there. There's no tombstones in that place. Hey, there's no funerals at that place. Aren't you glad? I mean, honestly, just let this sink in a little bit. No more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are what? Sound faithful? What? Sound true? He says they are faithful and they are true. Does that sound familiar? Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. He shall be my son. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars. By the way, we were all there. Because the Word of God tells us elsewhere in the New Testament, such were some of you. But now he has saved us. It goes on to say, shall have their part in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone. It's the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me saying, come hither, I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and their light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. At the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, north 3 gates, south 3 gates, and west 3 gates. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. The city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. In other words, it's as wide as it is tall, and as long as it is wide and tall. And he measured the wall thereof 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Now, if I mispronounce these, you can come see me and correct me later. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. You say, what are they? I have no idea, but it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I have no idea, but I can't wait to see it. Amen. I'm going to see those places right there. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. By the way, I remind you that the pearl is made out of the pain of a living human, not a human being, but a living organism. And could it be, I can't prove this, but you can't disprove it. Could it be that God has the gates, the entrance to the city, made of pearl because it was brought about by the pain of Jesus Christ? And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now, this is another one of those things that, you know, people may say different things. Have you ever heard this? I want to see the streets of gold. Incorrect. There are no streets of gold. The Word of God says it's a street. It's one street. And it says it's so pure that it's transparent gold. You know what that means? That means you look through it. I don't understand all this. But you know what I know? That it's a faithful saying that if we be dead with him, we're also going to live with him. And here's where he's at. Amen. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty, verse 22, and the Lamb of the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You know, I remember Mr. Curley. Is Miss Curley here? Is she here? She may not be here, you know, due to the weather. But I remember him telling me, boy, I tell you, by the way, he's seen the Lord. He's with him. I remember him telling me, he's talking about this tree right here. You know, it says 12 manner of fruits. And he told me, he's just having a little bit of fun, but you know, he said, Jody, he said, you know what that means? I'm paraphrasing, I can't remember exactly what it was. But he said, that means if you want a Big Mac, you go up and just pick it off that bad boy. He wants you a quarter pounder, just go pick it off. It's hanging there, son. I don't know if that's exactly what it means, but I can guarantee you one thing. You've never ate anything like you've eaten off that tree. Amen! And it doesn't have any calories, praise God. We read on. I don't know about you, but this blesses my heart reading about this place. Verse number 2, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. Somebody ought to say glory right there. Let me tell you why I'm wearing glasses. This body's under the curse. Let me tell you why I limp every now and then and I've got arthritis in my left knee that has screws in it. Because this body's under the curse. Let me tell you why you're getting worse, not better. You ever thought about this? If evolution was true, which we know it's not, but if it was true, why are we not getting better? You ever thought about that? You're evolving. But I think we're all evolving in the wrong direction, don't you think? Amen. All I'm trying to do is paint a picture. How do you paint it? Let the Word of God paint it. I don't have to add anything to the Bible. Listen to this. There should be no more curse. By the way, let me tell you why that loved one died. The curse. Let me tell you why you're going to die one day unless the Lord comes back before then. The curse. But you know where the Lord is right now? There's no more curse. And if we be dead with it, we also won't live with it. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now notice verse number 4, and they shall see his face. That's enough right there to fill you up for a long time. And his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Can I say this? Oh, what our eyes will see some glorious day. You know, flying to Indianapolis and back home yesterday, I was praying the Lord to get me home, and he did. Praise the Lord for it. I was coming down to Indianapolis in the morning. They flew me to Chicago from Indianapolis. And then Chicago to Charlotte, Charlotte home. But I told my wife, it was snowing down below in places it was raining. But you who fly, you know this to be true. Above everything, the sun's still shining brightly. Makes no difference if you can see it here. It may be cloud covered. It may be snowy weather. It may be ice falling. It may be rain. It may be lightning. But above the clouds, the sun is shining brightly. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I remember this like it was yesterday because it was yesterday. It's flying on my way home. I got myself tickled. Amen. I remember looking out, we were above the clouds and the sun was shining, and the clouds looked like just big things of cotton candy is what they looked like. And I was looking out of the window, and I just started thinking. And I said, Lord, magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. And that is clouds. That's your sun shining on clouds. But one day, amen, we're going to go to a city whose builder and maker is God. And the throne of God is there. And all the saved people are there. And your loved ones who died in the Lord are there. And someday we're going to be there. Because that's where Christ is. And if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. And where he is, our eyes have never seen him. We can see it through the eyes of Scripture. But I want you to think right now. I'm drawing to a close, but I want you to think right now about where he is right now. Try to get it in your mind. Can you see the city? Can you see the gates of pearl? The walls of jasper? The street of gold? Can you see that loved one, that mama, that daddy who was saved? Can you see that spouse who was saved? Can you see that boy or that girl who was saved? And on the inside of the city, they're with the Lord. And he's there with them. And he says, if you be dead with me, it's my will that you come live with me for all eternity. Praise God. Good night.
And I say this to them. There's two kinds of people listening to me right now. Those who are on their way and those who are going the other place. Who in their right mind would say no to living with God for all eternity?
Timothy, it's a faithful saying that salvation is in Christ Jesus. They may have me bound, but they can't bind the Word of God. And if you're dead with Him, you're also going to live with Him.
Aren't you glad that's true this morning? Praise the Lord. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, help us now. Guide this invitation. Bless this invitation. Touch this invitation. God, draw people to yourself. Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. When those at the instruments are ready, they're going to begin to play through as soon as they get prepared. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you headed to the place where Jesus is? Are you dead with Christ? That simply means, are you a Christian? See, He died, and for those who are saved, when you receive Him as your Savior, it's as though you died with Him. You see what I'm saying? But yet, even though He died, He was buried. But He didn't stay dead. He rose again. He's alive forevermore. So if you've trusted Him, you arose with Him. And He's ascended back to His Father in heaven. And He's preparing a place for you and me. Somebody has said, it took Him 6 days to prepare everything that we see. Oh, the beauty of His creation. Somebody said He's been gone for 2,000 years preparing that place. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but I know this. One day I'm going to see it. It's not because I've been a good boy. The Word of God tells me none's good, no, not one. It's not because I'm a pastor of a church. It's not because I got baptized. It's not because I'm trying to live right now. It's all because salvation was found in Christ Jesus. Spoke to me, I responded. And I asked the Lord to forgive my sins. And I received Him as my Savior. If you know for sure that you're going to live with God, please don't condemn yourself, because the Lord already knows the answer to this question before you raise your hand. But if you know without a doubt that you're going to live with God, you're saved, you're born again, you don't hope so, you know so, you are saved. If you don't know what that means, please don't raise your hand. Christian today, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, Jody, I know what I'm saying. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. By the way, if you raise your hand, that place I just read about, you're going to see it one day. Man. Maybe there's somebody here today and you say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand to that question. And I'm being an honest person. If I die today, I am concerned that I would not go to be with Christ. I'm concerned that I may go to a devil's hell. You say, Jody, does God send people there? No, God doesn't send anybody there. They send themselves. When they reject the Lord Jesus Christ, God's word is still true that sin must be paid for. And He will keep His word. He will not let anything into heaven to defile it. Not one thing. That's why your sins must be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You must be covered. When He looks at you, He must see the blood of Christ, or you'll never make it to Him. Have you say today, Jody, I'm concerned about my soul. By the way, if you respond to this, I'm not going to come to your seat. You just need to know how to proceed with the invitation. But you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. But I sure do want to go be with Him. I sure do want to live with Christ in that beautiful, beautiful city.
because I want to see the Lord. I want to see that street of transparent gold. I want to live there. You say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going there, but I want to. I really want to go there. Is there anybody here, maybe a child, maybe a teenager, maybe an adult, you say, Jody, pray for me. I want to be sure I'm saved. Anybody at all like that? Would you quickly and quietly, right now, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Anybody at all? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to that place, but I sure do want to go. I want to go live with Christ for all eternity. Anybody at all? Could be a child. Could be a teenager, an adult. Anybody at all? Would you raise your hand up, put it right back down? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. Since the Lord's going to do all this for me, I sure do need to be doing a whole lot better job for Him. Oh, you're a Christian, you're saved, you're going to heaven. But you know in your heart that your heart's not right with God. It could be that you're not reading the Bible every day, you're not praying every day, or maybe you're doing things that you know in your heart is not right. Maybe you're not doing some things that you know you should be doing. You say, Jody, the Lord's speaking to me. I'm a Christian, I'm saved. But you know, He's been so good to me. I need to make sure my heart's right with Him. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? Be an honest person. Be an honest person. Boy, I sure hope you're telling me the truth. I sure hope that nobody under the sound of my voice in a crowd this size, I sure hope that every heart is right. Because if you're not, you just lie to the Holy Spirit of God. That's a dangerous thing. I encourage you. Make sure your heart's right with the Lord. Maybe you know somebody who's not on their way to this place. They're not on their way to live with Christ. If you know somebody like that, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. If you got your hand raised, that's a lot of you. I want you to lower your hand. Won't you look at me just a minute? Would you do that? It's a majority of you, really. Maybe at least half, if not more, of the congregation. If you're looking at me right now on behalf of somebody who's within driving distance of this church, your duty this week is to try to get them. You say, Jody, are you trying to build the church? No, that's the Lord's job. We're trying to go out and compel them to come in. Why'd He say that my house may be filled? Do you understand that one of the greatest ways you can be a gospel witness is simply to invite somebody to something like we're having next week for the Cantata, Saturday night, Sunday night, next Sunday morning, Gift Sunday now that's been postponed. You understand that if you invite them, they come, they trust Christ, you had a hand in that. What do you think they're going to do when you get to that place and they see it? You think they might say thank you for being bold? We all know people like this. Maybe you feel burdened to come pray for them in just a moment. I'm not trying to get all of you up front, just those who feel like the Lord would have you come. May the Lord help us. May all He wants us to be. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help people to respond. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is dealing with you, would you leave your place and would you come? Somebody may be lost, need to come. Come now. Somebody may have a heart that's not right. Come now. Somebody may have somebody that's lost that you're going to try to get here next week. Come now. Ask God to help you. Give you the boldness, whatever it takes. As Brother Gary sings, you come. Explain to you what that means. It has nothing to do with your salvation.
You're saved because you've asked Jesus to come into your heart. But the Word of God teaches that when He saves you, you shouldn't be ashamed of Him. And one way that people can make a public profession of their faith is they come forward in a service like this. They don't have to say a word. We simply get their information, and I from the pulpit say, you have come, and in the recent days you've trusted Christ as your Savior. By you doing that, it does a couple of things. Number one, it shows that you're not ashamed of the Lord. Number two, it encourages Christians that the Lord is still saving people. Number three, it gives others boldness to do the same. So I want to extend an invitation to those who may have been saved in your home, may have been saved in the recent days with a circumstance or whatever. What I mean, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, but you've never come. Let other people know about it. I want to invite you to come. As Brother Gary sings the next verse, if nobody comes, this will be it. If somebody wants to come, this is it. As he sings, you come on. You come on. Give you this microphone. This is number two. I want you to pray. God, use Brother Mosier again on this side of eternity. And I want you to have the privilege of praying the service that he comes to. I want many of you who can to come by and shake his hand. Let him know you're praying for him. If you are, go pray for him. Don't lie to him. Pray for him. Be back tonight at 6:30. Right in your place. A great thing for the first time. Yes, please remember to take your stuff out to the welcome center.
Father, we thank you today for the love of Jesus. We thank you for the price that you paid for our sins. I thank you, Lord, that you still love sinners. And when James came, Lord Jesus, he came brokenhearted. He said, I want in. I want to be saved. And dear God, I thank you for that. Lord Jesus, we could say all kind of words and things of that sort, but nothing takes the place of a lost sinner just coming and say, I want to receive Christ. And Lord, I thank you for that today, and I praise your name, Lord Jesus, that you could use us, Lord God, to be the instrument that would bring people to Christ. Help us now, Heavenly Father, as we go forward from this place to lift up the name of Jesus and praise your wonderful name and to glorify the Lord, because one of these days we're going to see that place we've heard preached about today. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for it. Now have your way and bless this good man, Lord Jesus, and help him. And Father, I touch his family now, I pray, and we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.